April 20th, 2014, Sunday afternoon service. Today we are going to study from Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. I think this is about the great tribulation, just like the other ones we have reviewed in Psalm 54. I keep talking about the great tribulation because everything written in the Bible actually happens. I believe that everything written in the Bible all points at the end time. David says that he moans noisily because of the enemy's oppression. He was a man after God's heart, but he also experienced a great persecution. It will be so for the Christians too, even when we are after God's heart. Jesus went through the same. Pharisees and the scribes kept asking him in what authority he did all those things. The society did not understand him, so they ended up killing him. If things of this life were so important, Jesus would have fought with tooth and nail, but he didn't, and he always had his eyes fixed on the life to come. Since Jesus is our teacher, we should keep our eyes on him and not get discouraged even if we get persecuted in this lifetime. In some Bibles, the verse 3 says the enemy brings trouble upon him, but in King James Version it says, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. They use the word iniquity, which is immoral, rather than trouble. The problem we face in great tribulation era is Christian persecuting Christians. It says that you would be betrayed by your parents and brothers and sisters, but this could also mean your fathers and mother and brothers and sisters of faith. But this happens because the one who persecutes has iniquity, which is like embracing false doctrines. Like you're being lifted up before the tribulation or you're saved no matter what once you have accepted Jesus. But that's not correct because the path to the righteousness is narrow as written in the Bible. And they will persecute the righteous Christians with intense hate, like the Pharisees hated Jesus. There will be the same type of persecution. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. David hoped to fly away and hide in the wilderness. This is something that Christians might need to do in the end time. If you read the Revelation chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, it says, and when the dragon saw that he was cast onto earth, he persecuted the women which brought forth the man-child. And the women were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half time, from the face of the serpent. This a time and times and half time means, I think, three and a half years of tribulation. And also wilderness means outside a city. During the tribulation, the city of Jerusalem will be attacked. So people of God will have to flee to outside the city. That means church will be under attack too. It says in Luke or Mark that when there's destruction of the temple, one who is in the wilderness should not go into the city. It also says that let no one on the housetop go down to take anything out of the house. This is about Sukkot, in which they built a room on top on the rooftop, or built the temple outside the temple, or outside a city. This could also mean, I think, the underground church, too. So the revelation could mean that she has to leave the city for 3.5 years and stay in the wilderness, where she has to rebuild the underground church. And she must not return to the city during that time. If you really study the Bible, there are many places that imply that. But this is one of the mystery of the kingdom of God, and there is no conventional doctrine to support that. But I strongly believe this is what we should expect, and we should prepare by building underground churches for the time to come. And although this is David's psalm, this could also imply and instruct us what to do when such times again in our lifetime, when such time comes in our lifetime. And since the Bible contains no unnecessary information, and this is a solid instruction for us. Symbolically, our first church meeting was held in the basement of a building. I didn't think anything back then. I was only paying attention to a karaoke machine which was hidden behind the curtain. But now I look back, I think it was very symbolic. Verse 8. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Storm or tempest also mean the false revival caused by the demonic spirit. The revelation where we read also says that. And the serpent cast out his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood. And this serpent and the flood of water could mean flooding of the false revival. And when the time comes, those who remain with the church with Antichrist teaching will see a judgment. Verse 9. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. This dividing tongues means those Christians would start saying different doctrines that they don't even make sense to themselves. The Bible also says that there will be rumors of wars, which could be also be wars among the churches and Christians. Verse 10 and 11, day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof, mischief and sorrow are in the midst of it, wickedness is in the midst of thereof, deceit and guile depart not from her street. Wickedness and deceit within the church is also a sign of a great tribulation, and we already start seeing that. Deception, like someone saying the Europe is a nation of the beast, or 7 years of contract, it's a peace treaty in Israel, or the third temple in Jerusalem. And they are all deceptions. Verse 12 and 13. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, my equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. So this is what will happen to us if we are not careful. This betrayal within the church will happen in the time to come. And Jesus also experienced that, for he was betrayed for 30 silver coins by his disciple. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As you know, those who betray do not understand the truth. Like Judah was with Jesus, but he did not see that he was with God himself. But as we know from the Last Supper, other 11 stayed with Jesus. So we should have discerning ability to see who will stand with you and who will betray you. We had that in this church too, and when the person left, I was not surprised, since I felt that from the very beginning. Verse 16, and as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, and there were many with me. This reminds me of a story of widow and unjust judge. Though he was an unjust man, because of the widow's persistent pleading, he got weary and he ended up granting her wish. So we too have to be persistent in prayer when the tribulation comes. And you know that it will only last 3.5, 3.5 years and not forever. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abides of old, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He has put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. This covenant means contract. Let's look at what breaking the contract means. Go to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. There was a covenant between God and Abraham, and this covenant would last forever. As Christians too have a covenant relationship with Jesus. The wine we drink for communion is a sign of a new blood covenant with Jesus Christ. And in the end time, there will be anti-Christians signing the covenant with Christians, though it is only temporary. Some says this is about a 7-year contract or peace treaty signed with Israel, but I don't think this is about the nation. I think this is about the individuals. And such covenant between Christians with others with wrong doctrine will cause the sacrifice and oblation for Jesus Christ to cease. I think that's what it means. So the verse 20 of the psalm saying that David's friend has broken the covenant means a Christian will break the covenant with Jesus, like Esau selling off his birthright, which is the covenant, the contract by birth. So we will see a movement that Christian will break the covenant with Jesus and persecute the faithful ones. And I believe this is already happening, especially in the U.S. I often watch YouTube and I search clips using a keyword like persecution and homosexuality and protest. And I see a lot of Christians persecuted and arrested for standing up for their belief. This is because the President Obama legalized the homosexuality marriage for gay people. So anyone who is against automatically become illegal and get arrested. So in a sense, this will divide Christians into those who stay with Jesus and those who stray away from the teachings. And also I see that there is a movement that even within the church, they stop praying in the name of Jesus and use other terms like eternal God or something. So this implies that there will be many Christians who will break off the covenant with Jesus Christ in the time to come. The words of mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in their heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. This is as it says, like saying God is love, so he will not judge people because of his great love, which is said by the Pope. So God will not send people to hell. The hell exists within our heart. I mean, that's sweet and smooth words. But this will only lead people to destruction. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. So the end time is the time to divide Christians, like the story of wheat and tare. It says that wheat is gathered and stored in the barn, and tares also gathered and burned up. So once you become a Christian, you will always be Christian is a wrong thinking. Please do not forget that such things are all forewarned in the Bible.